Today on episode number 466 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, which you can find right over there at schoolofpodcasting.com/466. Hey, I've been nominated. I'll tell you what for. We've got some news about Audible and NPR in podcasting. We've got a quick tip that's going to help you if you're using things like Patreon and Joyride. I've got a way to help you not shoot yourself in the foot. And in episode number 431, we talked about internet trolls. Today, we're going to talk about the proverbial haters. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. I'm your very own personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you so much for tuning in. If you're new to the show, hey, where you been? I've been here since 2005, and I'm so glad you finally made it to the party. Welcome to the party, pal! Here's what we do. We talk about all things podcasting. If it's about podcasting, I'll talk about it here. And that means I'm going to help you massage your message. I'm going to help you tackle the technology. And I'm going to help you flatten the learning curve. And our website is schoolofpodcasting.com. Want to talk to me? schoolofpodcasting.com/contact. And you can use the coupon code LISTENER, LISTENER, and get a discount on your first month at the School of Podcasting. And here's the cool thing. I am honored. I mean, really, the Academy of Podcasters have nominated the School of Podcasting in the technology category. Now, that's the good news. The bad news is, oh, man, am I up against some powerhouses. Daily Tech News, not, I think that's the one that the guy still using the free media host, the guy from Twit TV. Speaking of that, I'm up against This Week in Tech. Nothing like going up against Leo Laporte, easy for me to say. Mac OS Ken, I hear so much about that. Reply All from Gimlet Media, Little Old Me Again, the School of Podcasting. Security Now, Tech News Today, Visit Tech Stuff, The Feed, aww. It's no fun when you're up against your friends, Elsie and Rob Walsh. That's the official Libsyn podcast and the MacCast. And so what they do is they ask you to submit a 5-minute clip, or they're just going to use the not like your last episode. So I thought about this and I thought, well, if you're new to the show, this is a cool way to kind of get you caught up. And it's a little time capsule of what I truly believe in when it comes to podcasting. So here is, and I also thought about not doing this because maybe these other shows haven't made a clip, but I always like to go the extra mile, and here is what I submitted to the Academy of Podcasters. Hey, this is Dave Jackson. I just wanted to say thank you very much for your consideration.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
You walk into one of the big halls, and there's 2,000 people. Roughly 1950-ish, right? But let's just call it 2,000 people. And you walk in, wow, there's 2,000, not 20, not 200, 2,000 people. Think about that a second. 2,000 people. Then you go over and you walk into the next room. Now, that room, by the way, is filled with bloggers. Now, walk a little bit down the hall. So go out, turn left. Okay, turn left again. Now you're going into the other room, and guess what? You're the only person in there. Now, the people in the other room, the 2,000 people, all had blogs on your topic. Now, if you go in the other room where you're the only person, you're the only podcaster on that subject. So which one is going to be easier to be found? Exactly. So that's one of the reasons why if you're a blogger and you've been thinking like, should I take this and turn it into a podcast? Yes. How do you do a solo show? And I always tell people, just picture your best friend ever and picture them sitting across the room from you. You have something exciting to say or a story that they've asked about or whatever it is, and you're going to relate it to them and just talk. And it basically boils down to this. Is your content useful? Like, can people do stuff with your content? Then the other one is it interesting? Because there are some things that I will listen to that are not useful, but they're interesting. Like, for instance, the Serial podcast. It's not really useful. I don't walk away from that show going, man, I'm so glad I listened to that 45 minutes about a guy whacking a girl and throwing her in the trunk of his car. Now I know how to whack a girl and throw her in the trunk. No, it's not useful information. It's useful that it made me forget my day. It made me, I don't know, it Calgon, take me away, right? It's useful in that end, but what it really is it's really interesting. It's really interesting. So you have interesting, but not useful. Then you have useful, but maybe not that interesting. So when I'm talking about simplecast.fm, you're like, boring. Yeah, but it's really useful. Why? Because it's going to save you from using the wrong media host. And you will thank me later, trust me. When you have 100 episodes and you have to move those bad boys, hoofa. So not very interesting, but useful. Then you have the other one, not interesting, not useful. That's what I like to call a caca, a poo-poo. Next week on Dinner, it's not just me that wants to eat this time. It's my wife and my stepson, and we all have different tastes. Next week on Dinner. And the fun part of that, obviously, if there's no story, no matter of music and sound effects, even though they're real, is going to save it. Here's me interviewing the internet troll. So I guess the last thing I should ask is, what do you think about my show? What do you think about the School of Podcasting?
It sucks.
The interview sucks. With the troll. So what do we learn from that? Well, number one, these people are idiots. They say really, really stupid things. And most of the time, they don't have the courage to do what you do, which is make a podcast. Be very careful about sharing stories about your family. Like, I would love to talk about the ups and downs of my marriage on that show. And that's not a good way to stay married. I'll just leave it at that. I have in the past, I have paid the price for that. And as much as you have decided to share your life, your family has not. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you Kevin Costner is the Antichrist. Build it and they will come is the big lie. You build it and you give them a place to find it, but they're not going to come unless you tell them to go. And they're not going to follow your lead unless you have a relationship with that person or where they value your opinion. And you do that by bringing value. But that's not how I define my success. I define my success by how many people are out there going, man, if you want to learn how to podcast, Dave Jackson is the dude. It's not in downloads. It's in the connection I have with you.
This podcast is part of the Power of Podcasting Network. Find it at powerofpodcasting.com. Changing the world, one download at a time.
So obviously I put that, I didn't have the Power of Podcasting thing in the clip, but that's a nice little 5 minute snapshot, I think, of what I truly believe there. And we were talking about this on the Ask the Podcast Coach this Saturday. By the way, as I am doing this, as I'm recording this right now, it is still Saturday, and I'm wearing the No One Will Punch You in the Face shirt from the one and only Ryan K. Parker from foodcraftsman.com. And it's cool that, I don't know, we inspired a t-shirt. I hope you got yours. It's actually a really nice shirt. It's not like super duper duper nice, but it's, I don't get the feeling this is going to fall apart in two washings. But Gimlet Media came out with a new podcast, The Mystery Show. And I listened to the first episode, and the following is an opinion. It's only an opinion. And I will say that apparently I am not the target audience for The Mystery Show. And the mystery was that one day a girl, a friend of the host, went to a video store, signed up, got her membership card, and the next day went to take the movie back that she had rented, and the video store was gone. Oh, the humanity. And so they go through to figure out what happened to the store. And at one point, she starts asking people in the neighborhood, and they interview
this guy. Now, they're in New York, so this guy's got the whole Rocky Balboa kind of thing going on. It's like, well, yeah, I used to go to that store, and it was, you know, I like movies that are foreign films, or like dramatic roles. And I'm like, okay, what does this have to do with how did the store go away?
Well, hey, he's a real New Yorker, and he talks like this, and
right? And I'm like, okay. And here is the point that my buddy Jim Cullison said, man, that's a good point. Just because it's real people doesn't mean it's real interesting. And he said, Dave, that's a clamor. That thing you just said, that's a clamor. Oh, so there you go. And it was by the end of it was the fact that, well, either her friend was lying or they actually found the owner of the store and he said, yeah, I had signs up going out of business. I guess she missed them. So either she's an idiot and missed the signs or B, she's just flat out lying. Either one, I don't care. You know, cereal, I talked about cereal in that little clip. That happened in the past, but it still had ties to the present where you know, that guy's still in jail. Holy cow. Or I didn't think I was going to like the second season of Startup. If you haven't listened to the Startup podcast, it's really cool. It's this whole behind the scenes, which is always a great thing, behind the scenes of them starting this startup podcast and this audio, you know, editing company that puts out storytelling podcasts. And so that was cool. When they came out with the second season, they switched companies. And I thought, well, I just built a relation listening about Alex and the team, and now they're talking about, you know, dating ring or date ring or whatever it is. And I didn't think I was going to like it, but because they had a good story, I'm still listening to the Startup podcast. It's all about the story and how it connects. It's either going to, you know, again, it's going to be interesting or entertaining, or it's going to inspire people. That's the other thing I didn't say in that clip, right? You're going to give something for people to do. Like, oh, I didn't know I could do that. Or you're going to make them feel some way. So if they're not doing something or feeling something, when your podcast is done, you might want to go back and try something else. So that's that I will still say that. As much as people are going to go, oh, it's time to do NPR shows. I don't think so. It's still about the story. In fact, speaking of the story in NPR, there was a great article on how podcasting has saved NPR, because apparently NPR is funded by the government and they've been removing their support. And it's funny because NPR likes to say that they have, oh, I forget what the phrase they use for it, but it's basically they have commercials. They just don't call them commercials. It's kind of funny that way because they want to still come across like this word, nationally funded. Well, kind of. But the president and CEO of NPR, Jarl Mohn, said podcasts are attracting younger listeners to the network, but not because it's altering its message. So are they doing something now where they're talking about, you know, this week on Haters Gotta Hate? No, they're not changing the message. They just changed the medium. People are like, I don't own a radio. It's kind of a bummer. On occasion, I want to listen to some sports, in which case I can almost always find it somewhere on the internet. So they didn't change their message. They just changed the delivery method. In this case, he said, it's the medium. Now, according to Edison Research, an estimated 46 million Americans, that's just Americans, by the way, contrary to what most Americans think, there are other people on the planet. And 46 million Americans listen to at least one podcast a month. That's 46 million downloads a month, and that's just Americans. Now, that number has grown steadily pretty much since 2004, and with podcasting taking over more listening time, it's going to be interesting when podcasting has an easier path into the car. Right now, the other night, I get into my little Toyota Prius, and all of a sudden, I think Pat Flynn just came on. And my wife's like, whoa, where did that come from? Because I didn't touch a thing on the car. It was set up to be in Bluetooth mode. It looks for my phone. It found it and just started playing whatever the last thing I had on my phone. Well, the last thing on my phone was, you guessed it, a podcast. So, but here's the interesting thing. podcasts are only just beginning to creep in as an on-demand option in our cars. Here's a little pop quiz. You ready? What percentage of radio listening do you think happens in the car? Like, here's where people listen. Here's how many people, here's what percentage of people listen in the car. What do you think it is? 44% of listening happens in the car. And I would like to know what percentage of podcasting happens in the car, because I listen to a lot of podcasts in the car. But here, NPR, this national treasure, is getting propped up from podcasting. That was interesting. Now, who else is getting into podcasting? We talked a couple weeks ago about Spotify, and I am in Spotify. You do have to search for me. I'm not like on the front page, but the School of Podcasting is in Spotify. And Amazon, well, kind of, who owns Audible, looks to be moving further into the world of podcasting. They hired the former vice president of programming from, you guessed it, NPR. He'll be coming on as a senior vice president of original content. So now iHeartRadio, who embraced podcasting a while back and now started some original programming, so the only way you can get them is to go on iHeartRadio, and apparently Audible, an Amazon company, is now following suit. And what's interesting about this is Audible was one of the early adapters of podcasting. I'm going to guess here, somewhere 2006 to 2009, somewhere in there, they actually had a way for you to sell your podcast, like paid subscriptions. And at the time, we're all like, what? Make money with your podcast? You're the devil, is what a lot of people said. And it was a little before its time. Be interesting to see if they bring that back, because they had the technology. But that was a way for people to make money. And so it's just going to be another thing. Notice here, Audible, what do they want? They want people to come over and listen to stuff. And what does iHeartRadio want people to do? They want people to come over and listen to stuff. What does Spotify want? They want people to come over and listen to stuff. What do they need? Really good content. Where are they going for really good content? Are they putting in radio channels? Did Spotify go, look, click here and you can listen to your favorite FM radio stations? No, they came over to podcasting. They came over to podcasting. A great quote from the Wolf Den, Kevin Smith, who does the Smodcast, said, hey, you know what? Podcasting is the new breeding ground. He goes, because think about it, Rush Limbaugh is not getting any younger. And all these old radio guys and media people are getting old, and eventually they're going to retire. Where are they going to get the new Rush Limbaugh? They might go to radio, and they might go to podcasting. And I was like, that is something to think about. That's kind of interesting. In fact, here's a clip. This was on The Wolf Den, which is a pretty cool podcast, and it's a podcast about the business of podcasting. Here is one clip. I've got two clips here, and I'm hoping the problem with clips from Kevin Smith is, man, does that guy cuss a lot. I'm not a prude. You can cuss all you want, but most of the stuff I put out is family friendly. And they're talking about just the Wolf Den or Earwolf, their network. Check this out.
We've got probably 15 million downloads per week of the top 20 podcasts in iTunes.
It's mind-bending.
You know?
Well, so wait, 15 million downloads.
Right.
Turn that into a Nielsen rating.
Here's another clip.
All of us collectively, over the course of the last 10 years, have created a brand new medium that's viable.
Right.
Just like how the internet created millions of new jobs, billions of new wealth, like that. I mean, podcasting ain't going to happen. It's going to be like if the internet was, you know, Facebook, podcasting is like Twitter.
And even there, yeah, I had to bleep him. He's, you know, really great insights, just loves to, you know, some really interesting insights from Kevin over at The Wolf. And I'll put a link to this out in the show notes. And he's talking about an industry, you know, an industry that's growing.
Hi, this is Dave Jackson, and like a well-oiled machine, your body is the perfect engine. However, if you put the wrong food into it over a long period of time, you're going to face significant consequences. I know because I have. Are you like me? You're just too busy to exercise, just too much life in the way? Maybe you're thinking about buying that new latest diet pill that's supposed to erase, block, and dissolve fat and make you thin in just a few days. Order now! Look, it's time to face facts. There is no pill that works in a healthy way with long-term benefits. It's up to you. I'm going to lose 25 pounds, and I'm going to show you how. You can watch and listen to me on the Logical Weight Loss Podcast at logicalloss.com. If I can do it, so can you. Live right, lose weight, live long. It's really that simple. Logical Weight Loss Podcast at logicalloss.com. Come on, you can do it.
One of the things I'm always trying to do is help you avoid painful situations or going, ah, you know, I talked about in a previous episode, there are other podcast consultants that tell you that if you use Libsyn, use the file for download only option. And I've been saying, no, no, that's a bad idea. The people at Libsyn have been saying, no, it's a bad idea. But other podcast consultants go, nah, it's okay. That's the way I do it. And now you're kind of in a world of hurt if you're going to be getting into Spotify. Well, here's something I'm hearing people doing. And I'm like, no, let me give you some insights into this. It's a quick tip here. If you're linking to any other kind of service or crowdfunding, right now I'm playing with Patreon. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/patron, P-A-T-R-O-N, you can be a patron of the School of Podcasting. So if you're like, hey, Dave, you know, I already have a podcast and kind of up and running and you'd like to support the show, you can go over there. And every time I'll put out a video, and I've thrown some tutorials over there, some insights, you know, you pay per video. And I typically put out one a month because I don't want to, you know, I could put out a video every day and be rich, but typically it's one a month. Now, I just started playing with Joyride. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/joyride, now this is actually set up for the Ask the Podcast Coach show, and this will be on a monthly basis. And you can be a joyrider? You can ride along for as little as a buck a month, and you're going to get like the show, the after show, and probably some extra bonus content over there. And I'm playing with these, but notice what I said. schoolofpodcasting.com/patron, schoolofpodcasting.com/joyride. And I'm hearing people, like my actual patron page is schoolofpodcasting.com/podcastcoach. Well, that's fine and all, but what if somebody comes along and is just so much better than Patreon that I switch? Well, I've now got 465 episodes of me going, hey, go to patreon.com/podcastcoach. Well, guess what? What if I want to change that? And let me give you a real life example. So I always try to, you know, if I give you an opinion, I want to give you why I have this opinion. And here it is. Back in the day, there is an Audible, speaking of Audible, affiliate program. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/audible, you can sign up for that. Every time somebody joins Audible for the first time, you earn $15. And I make about, I don't know, $15 to $50, $45 a month with that. I don't really promote it a whole lot, but on occasion I will mention a book and I'll say, by the way, you can get this book for free. And it's a cool little program. Now you have to have, I wouldn't do this right out of the gate. I would make sure you had some traffic to your website first and you had a little experience under your belt. But it's a cool little program. The bad news is I'd been using them for some time. And let's say they have company A who is managing their affiliate program. Well, they decided to go with another company and I got a new link. So if I had been giving them my, let's say it's like audible.com/podcastcoach, which it's not, I'm just making that up. And the new company goes, oh yeah, we're not using those links anymore. Now I have to either beg them, please, please, please give me audible.com/podcastcoach or I'm out of luck. So what's a better way to do this? Now you've probably heard other podcasters talk about this. There is a plugin. Now, a plug-in is something you add to WordPress. It's kind of like adding air conditioning to your car. WordPress doesn't have this, but you can add this little plug-in. It's called PrettyLink. So when you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/iTunes, it takes you right to my iTunes subscription page. You can go there, you can rate and review and subscribe. Now they also have, now it's a free plugin. They also have a PrettyLink Pro version, which is the one I use. It's a one-time fee. It's $37. And it lets you configure it. So if I type the word iTunes in a blog post, it automatically turns that into a link. I think I have it set up so if I type in Podcasters Roundtable, which is a show by my friend Ray Ortega from podcasterstudio.com and Daniel J. Lewis from the Audacity to Podcast, it automatically turns that into a link because I talk about that show a lot. I appear on that show. I am a co-host, if you will, of that show. It's a lot of fun. And we just did a great show. I'll be playing you some clips from that in the future. We just did a show about co-hosts. But that's what PrettyLink does. And what was great about this is here I had my PrettyLink for Audible. And when they changed my link, I just went into WordPress. I went into my PrettyLink section and said, hey, you know how when people go to this link, you go to, you know, Company A's link? I now want you to go to Company B. I didn't have to change a thing. I was still giving out the same exact link and everything was cool. And none of my back catalog had to be updated. It was all super safe, super, nothing had to change. So if you're pointing to any kind of service, so when people are using things like Patreon, it's cool. If you want to point people to Patreon, I'm just saying you might want to use yourwebsite.com/patron. You want to be a patron of me, schoolofpodcasting.com/patron. Or if you're going to be using something like Joyride, schoolofpodcasting.com/joyride. That way, if, let's say, what about this? What if Joyride goes out of business? Now, I have no idea if they are or not. They're kind of new. Or what if Patreon goes out of business? Well, you're going to be directing them to a page that doesn't exist. Now you can redirect that feed to that feed, that link to wherever you are, whatever you're now using. Or it might be a page that says, hey, we're not doing that anymore. Thanks so much for clicking on the link. And just as a side note, as we talk about things like Patreon and Joyride, you might be thinking, because you maybe you're, there's nothing wrong with not wanting to make money with your podcast, but realize there are times when your audience may want to just float you a buck. This is a clip from the Showrunner course, and just they're doing a show about Indiana basketball, and here's what they had to say about this show. Check this out.
There's people asking us, why don't you sell sponsorships? Why aren't you guys making money from this? How do we donate to you? And people just started sending us $50 because they wanted to donate. They wanted to support what we're doing.
So in some cases, people want to support what you're doing, and websites like Patreon and Joyride give people a way to do that. And it's a little more fun than the old PayPal donate button. So that's just a little tip to help you avoid a headache in the future when you go, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I'm just letting you know right now, you probably shouldn't be doing that. It's a podcast, and those things live on forever. In episode number 431, we heard a little clip of it earlier. That particular episode was called Go, 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 Promote Your Show, and the fact that you can't please everyone. And in that, I interviewed the internet troll. And we said there are a couple things about trolls. They don't have the courage to do what you do, which is create content. And they only tell you how bad your content is. And many times they do it anonymously. And again, that's just a lack of courage. And on the other hand, I said, hey, be proud that somebody was moved to hate you. They did leave a comment. You spurred them to action. And that's a plus. It doesn't seem like a plus, doesn't feel like a plus, but it is a plus. And so today we've got a question. Now, I originally played this on Ask the Podcast Coach, but I thought I would talk about it over here as well, because I realize not everybody listens to that show. And we're going to be talking about haters And I think haters are maybe a little different than trolls. We're going to talk about some things that to wrap your head around this. And they were on the show last week. The hilarious. They're from shepodcast.com. The lovely and talented Elsie and Jessica.
Hello, Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting. Guess who's calling today?
It's us.
There's two of us leaving you voice feedback today because we have a question.
Okay.
Jessica and Elsie from She Podcast.
Yes, Jessica and Elsie from She Podcast. Both of us are calling you because, as you know, we have just launched Podcasting School for Women. And it's awesome. It's so cool. It's so great. Isn't it great, Jess? It's so fun.
I love it. I love those people.
But anyway, we had a hater.
Yes, we did.
Yes, we had a hater because we were selling the course online. Mm-hmm. I mean, not online. What am I saying? In the course, in our newsletter. Yeah. You know,
via email.
And so we had somebody sign up for our email list, I think, on the one day, right? Just like a day. And then
2 days ago. Yeah.
And then
And
then she got an email selling the course. She just happened to sign up for our email list when we're selling the course. And we received kind of a very hateful email back. Right, Jess? Can you elaborate a little bit?
Yes. Okay. So 2 days ago, she signed up to actually put her show in the She Podcasts Women's Directory. And so she got an email back that says, let's get your show in there. And she put her show in, I think, and everything was fine. And then I guess the very next day, she got one email asking people, you know, hey, it's not too late. You can sign up for Podcasting School for Women. So she sent me an email back that said, delete my profile from the site. I did not want to get spammed by joining, and I find it offensive to charge women hundreds of dollars a month for podcasting advice. And then another email came shortly after that, and it says, yeah, I've been podcasting since 2009 and I'm on Wikipedia for my work. You're nobody. Go spam some other suckers and don't email me again.
Oh.
Ouch.
So
this got Jess really riled up. I have to say, Dave, that I was not so upset about this, but she was a little bit more upset because, you know, whatever.
I'm a first hater.
I know.
I'm not accustomed to hate mail. People are generally, I don't know, maybe they're afraid of me or nice to me or I don't know. We really want to know, what would you do if someone said you're nobody?
Yes, absolutely. I think that
would you respond? Let's end it there, shall we?
Yes. No, I know. I totally get it. And right. I think that, yes, we want to know if somebody says that. And also the other thing, too, it's like we've been, you know, supporting women's voices for so long. We have been, you know, we're doing She Podcast for 2 years. I've been in the space for a long time. Jess has also been in the space for a long time. And we've never really sold anything. I mean, Jess did. I mean, you did Podcasting School for Women last year, but still, I just find it really interesting that she just wanted to be on the direct. I don't know, whatever. But Annie, what do you think? What do you think? You're nobody, and feeling the hate people asking for our expert advice. I know that
because first of all, yeah. I also want to know, like, do you research the person and go, I'm nobody, you're nobody, and compare like your nobodyness. Because that's what my instinct was to do, is to research the heck out of that person and be like, wait a minute, what nobody is calling me nobody?
Oh my God.
That's what I want to know. But I'm guessing you probably wouldn't give it much attention like Elsie did.
Yeah. So anyway.
Well, anyway, we would love your take on
that. Yes. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks.
Thank you, ladies, for sending that in. So to this, I would like to go to my mentor, Stuart Smalley. Just remember, you're good enough. You're smart enough, and doggone it, people like you. And there are some things to think about here. Number one, you're not everybody's going to like you. And this might differ a little bit from, say, the troll who just hates everybody. And so there are a couple things that I think this is different. Number one, here's some things to consider. The source. Who is this person? And by this, I mean, don't go hunt them down. But the fact that she came in and signed up for your directory, maybe that's all she was looking for, was the directory. And then she gets on your email list. It just so happens that the first thing, anybody who listens to your show, you've been talking about the Podcasting School for Women for a while. And so the fact that she didn't know about it to me says this isn't part of your tribe. If we're going to use some Seth Godin ease-esque words here. So, okay. So they're not part of your regular audience. And apparently in the same way that I wasn't a fan of the mystery show, this person may not be a fan of that. And that's okay. You know, bad timing. What are you going to do? The second thing is, if you start selling something in a podcast, when I went to, I think it was the 2006, what is now New Media Expo. It was in Ontario, California. And myself and Paul Culligan were talking about, hey, you know what? We're actually getting people to listen. We might be able to monetize this. And people looked at me and like, went, you are the devil. Podcasting is an art, man. You can't monetize art. And they just looked at me like I was Satan incarnate. And I went, well, by all means, you don't have to make money with your podcast. If you're just having fun, more power to you. Have more fun. But if you didn't used to charge for something and now you do, if you didn't used to have ads and now you do, if people, human beings, do not like change. Some of us want our 8-track tapes back. Now, the second thing you might want to think about is, do they have a point? Well, in this case, you're nothing. That's not really what I would call constructive feedback. But if somebody says, hey, when you talk, you sound like you're in a cave, and it seems kind of distracting when I'm trying to hear you, then you might want to sit back and go, do they have a point? And if so, is this something you can change? You know, is there any kind of validity to their criticism? Now, if they're just saying, you suck, that's not really constructive. Why do I suck? But do they have a point? So number one, consider the source. And if this is somebody from your regular audience, do they have a point? Okay, what if they do have a point? Here's the third one. Can you implement the changes without changing, one, who you are or the goal of the show? If implementing these changes is very unnatural for you. So for some reason, let's say I say the word he all the time, and I should be saying he, she. Is that something that's going to be so unnatural for me that it's kind of like I don't want to do the show anymore? Well, no. And it's something that I try to do on a regular basis. But if it would change the dynamic of the show, or if it's just going to make it like friction to do the show, then it may not be in the best interest of the show for the other people that enjoy the way you're doing the show now to put those actions in place. If you try to act a way that is not you, it's going to make podcasting a chore. And I've talked a little bit. I have a double secret probation show that I do under another name and on another voice. I actually put on a voice to do that show. And to make a long story short, it's hilarious because when I listen back to episodes, I go in and out of character because it's not natural to talk that way. And so consider the source. Do they have a point? And will putting their changes into place, A, make podcasting a chore, or B, like change the whole dynamic of the show? And when in doubt, you might want to ask your audience, right? You might go, hey, I've noticed I've done this. Does this bother you? Do you think we should change this? Should I do this or that? I'll give you an example of the days when I played in bands. My lead singer, super nice guy, great performer, and my bass player, both very talented musicians, they love to smoke pot, lots and lots of pot. And I always had a rule, look, if you don't ask me to hit your joint, I won't ask you to drink my Mountain Dew. And in the end, when we're on the stage, everything went great. So the show was fine. And it used to drive me nuts that we were supposed to go on at 9 and these guys would come in about 6 after. And I would go nuts. You're making us look unprofessional. Well, it dawned on me one day. Has the club owner ever complained? No. So that's one of those where that one person may not like this one thing, but in the end, my audience, my real audience, in the case of playing in a band, is not the people in front of me. It's the guy behind the bar that's writing the check. And they weren't upset, so I kind of just let it slide, and I had much less stress in the band that way. The other thing, when we talk about being you, you want to do the best you can. Let me give you some other behind the scenes stuff. As an instructor, I teach people technology. I teach a lot of Microsoft Office. I teach a lot of Microsoft Excel. But the bad news is my company, while I like my company, they don't always put me into what I would call the best training environments. Recently, I was asked to teach a class on Microsoft Excel version 2010. And I go in there and some of my students had, I went to their place. Okay. Some of my students had Excel 2007. Some of them had Excel 2010, and some of them had Excel 2013. Some of them had almost no mouse skills. They were they just were in an industry where they didn't use computers a whole lot, and some of them did. Some of them could see, and others, well, they couldn't see. And why is it the people with bad eyesight always sit in the back? So what did I do? You do the best you can. And I try to live without regrets. The older you get, it's kind of harder not to do that. But at the end of the day, I did the best I could. If I look back and I go, could I have done this? No, I think I made the best decision I could. And when I'm teaching things like Microsoft Excel, which is primarily a number crunching program, right? You're just, everybody's sleeping through it. And so I try to tell stories. I try to crack jokes, and I call these little brain breaks, and I'll explain, and you're like, what's a computer joke, Dave? Now, these are not like hilarious, but I will say things like, hey, in Excel, you have to hold your mouse just in the right spot to get the right icon. And I'll say, anybody here ever remember the game Operation? You know, the guy with a little red nose, and you had to put your tweezers in there to pull out his funny bone. And if you touch the sides, you know, you lost your patient. And everybody will go like, yeah, I remember that. And they're all nodding their head. I'm like, great. And I'll go, you know what's kind of weird about that game? Number one, it's weird to think that that game was high tech back in the day because it had a battery and Monopoly didn't. And number two, if you moved your tweezers wrong, you killed your patient. I go, isn't that kind of a little morbid game for kids? It's like, hey, kids, go have fun. Don't kill anybody today. And just by trying to liven things up, that is my style. Right? What was that? A 20-second little tangent from Excel. And the reason I do that is because I try to do what I call edutainment. And this was inspired by my niece, who when she was two, learned how to read and write at a really early age because my brother bought her computer games that were educational. And she'd be in there laughing and having fun with, I don't know, Roger Rabbit teaches reading or something like that. And fast forward, when she was graduating from high school, she had half a degree from Kent State University because she had already just blown through everything in high school. Why? Because she liked education, and it didn't seem like education if you were laughing your way through it. So I have lots of people that have told me over the years that I really love your teaching style. You made it fun. But on occasion, at the end of every class, somebody, you know, I have my students review my class, and I have somebody that goes, you know, the guy went on too many tangents. He told too many stories. In some cases, I will deviate from the book because the book is boring, and I have a better way to teach that. Some people really want you to read from the book. How boring is that? But nonetheless, I look at that and go, you know, I did the best I could. And that's really all you can do with podcasting. You know, sure, episode number one is not going to sound as good as episode number 10 and episode number 100, but you did the best with what you had at that time. A great example of this was on Saturday's show of Ask the Podcast Coach. My buddy Jim Cullison from theaverageguy.tv was saying how one of his coworkers had discovered podcasting, and she came in. She's like, I'm listening to something Entrepreneur on Fire, and he's like, oh, Entrepreneur on Fire with John Lee Dumas. And she's like, yeah, that's it. And he's like, oh, great. And she goes, yeah, I'm not really crazy about that guy. I'm sorry, John, but you know, you can't win them all, buddy. What kind of blasphemy, right? So what did Jim do? He said, well, if you like that kind of topic, check out Pat Flynn's show at smartpassiveincome.com. And, you know, later in the week, she comes by, hey, that Pat Flynn guy, love that show. Now, does that mean John Lee Dumas, you know, the guy that's making like, I don't know, $80,000 a month with his podcast, has a horrible show? No. It just points out that you're not going to be for everybody. And that's a good thing, because the people like the Rush Limbaughs and the Paris Hiltons and the Kim Kardashians and the Howard Sterns of the world, they split people right down the middle. And just be you and do the best you can. And I can sleep at night. If I get a bad review, I'm going to be able to look at my boss and go, I did the best I can. Under those circumstances, I did the best I can. I'll give you one other example as we head out the door here. This week, I had to have a tooth pulled, which for the record, you think you're having a good day until you got a dentist who's basically standing on your chest, pulling a chiclet out of your face. You're like, ah, okay. And I told my boss on Monday, I need to see a dentist. I need to see a dentist soon because my face is killing me. And he very politely said, yeah, too bad. Okay. So on Thursday, my wife calls me and she's been calling all over the place because I'm in pain. She says, I found a guy who could get you in at 3 o'clock. He's right down the street from you. I'm awesome. So I went to, now my boss has already told me there's no backup, Dave. You've got to do the class. So long story short, I go to the dentist at 3 o'clock. I tell my class, I'm really sorry. And I told them before 3 o'clock, but I'm going to have to leave. Now, here's the problem. If we don't get through all the material, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and I'm going to record that last lesson because there was one lesson I didn't get to, about 25 minutes of the class I didn't get to. Here's this. I will record it and you will have that for you when you wake up the next morning. And I will also, because I realized you're losing some of my time live Friday, I didn't have a class, I will do an hour. If you have any questions on anything in the class, I'll send you a link. You can connect with me live. And I'm so, so sorry I have to do this, but you know, my eye was hurting. It's weird. I had a toothache that traveled to my eye. Well, my boss wasn't happy because I didn't call him. I called him after the fact. My bad on that. But he did say there was nobody to follow up, but he was not happy that I did this. The class seemed okay with it at the time. In fact, just to prove the point, I had a couple people when I sent them the video the next day and I was there on Friday, they said, hey, I'm not going to be able to attend Friday, but I appreciate your dedication. You made the class fun and I hope you feel better. Perfectly fine with it. But not everybody was, because my boss was like, I had to put out some fires because of your little stunt. He was not happy. And I'm like, dude, if I had let this go another couple days, I would have been in serious, serious health problems, because you don't want decaying teeth to get into like your jaw and your sinuses and your brain and your heart. And, you know, I just had to let the chips fall. But another example of where some people are okay and some people aren't, and that's just the way it's going to go. You do the best you can and you just realize some people are going to think you suck. And that's okay, because the people that think you rock are going to far outweigh the people who, well, don't like you as much. So that is going to do it for this episode. Our website is schoolofpodcasting.com. If you'd like to join up, use the coupon code LISTENER, that's LISTENER, and that will save you off your first month. And if you don't have a website at all and you're thinking of starting a podcast, send me an email with the subject line Quick Start. And what we do is you order hosting for your website through me. I earn a commission. Yay me. Okay, how do you then win? Well, I will give you a free month at the School of Podcasting. But wait, there's more. If you send me kind of the welcome email, and we'll get into this when you send your email, I will actually go over and install WordPress for you and some of the plugins you need to start a podcast. And so you order hosting, which is like, I don't know, $8, $9. You get a free month at the School of Podcasting and you get WordPress set up for you. So if you don't have a website, that's a cool way to jump into it. And again, just send me an email with the phrase Quick Start. And until next week, again, I want to thank you so much. I realize your time is very valuable. I'm so happy that you hung out with me. And until next week, well, class is dismissed. I hope to see you on the inside. And until then, take care and God bless. Elsie Escobar and Jessica. See, I get worried about saying Kufferman and I mess up Jessica. How funny is that?